Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 says, "The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly." All right? You can tell when a wound is beginning to heal because there's going to be a blueness to the wound. It shows that it's not getting infected. If the wound is not healing properly, then what you'll get is you'll get a redness in the wound, indicating the presence of an infection. And you'll see that sometimes actually, and I've seen it in my own wounds, you'll actually see the red line moving up the blood, indicating that the infection is now spreading through the body. And you'll feel it up a lot of times swelling a lymph gland near the injury. All right, so if that's happening, then you're not cleansing away evil. There's actually an infection in the wound. But if it's getting that blueness to it, then the evil is being cleansed away and the wound is healing properly. Likewise, stripes cleanse away evil from the inward parts of the belly. And we didn't preach on this particular passage, but up in verse 27, the Bible says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." And that's where the trouble is. It's on the inside of a man. You know, it's not what enters the man that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart, comes out of the inside that defiles the man, Jesus said. And so stripes will cleanse away evil in the inward parts of the belly. Now, we don't have this anymore. People don't believe in any type of pain for correction. That's an unfortunate thing when you consider the Bible and what pain for correction actually accomplishes. It was not uncommon years ago to, you know, hit a man with a whip or something like that in order to cause him to recognize that the consequences of his actions need to change. In other words, if he has to bear that consequence with a painful correction, the next time he's thinking about doing something wrong, he is probably going to do something differently, okay, unless he's really hardcore. And this whole purpose of the stripe is to chase away or cleanse away that evil that's in him and drive that foolishness that's out of him. Now, today, all that stuff is off limits, even when murderers are on death row and then they're killed. It's by lethal injection. And there's even been a challenge as to whether or not that's painful and whether that's not the right way to end a man's life for the pain that he caused to the victims that he killed. It's a strange society that we live in. They don't want any type of pain associated with correction. Now, in sports, men will endure pain, and that pain causes them to improve their athletic ability. So certainly they experience pain and it corrects deficiencies in their form and in their style and in their ability and causes them to become tougher athletes, but it's off limits when it comes to correction biblically. Anyway, the two are like each other. When the wound is blue, evil is being cleansed away. When stripes are applied, the inward parts of the belly are being cleansed. The man is being corrected unless he's too old or too stubborn. All right? Now, this is not a, now that you understand the verse, this is not a going to be a lesson to convince you and everybody else that we ought to go back to the old way. We're past that now. It's not going to happen, so we're not going to do that. But in this case, what we're going to do is take instruction from this spiritually in our own lives to understand that still God, who is the author of this Bible, will apply painful experiences in our lives to correct us. And the similarity will be to wounds that people have to endure in order to have physical health. In order to have physical health, we need to sometimes undergo surgery or other painful experiences to remedy the problem. Things like physical therapy can be very painful, but they remedy the problem. Now, I just have a list here of some recent experiences. A lady recently had appendicitis. Well, the doctor had to cut her abdomen open to remove the ruptured appendix and the infection that resulted in order to cleanse all that out of there and then sew all that back up. And there was a longer-term recovery because of the opening of the wound, and there was also a painful recovery. But if the doctor had not inflicted that physical pain and caused that wound in that person's body, then she would be dead today. So there was a necessity of a painful wound in order to provide physical health. Recently had somebody that had even a section of the intestine removed because of a polyp that was precancerous, and it turned out to be a rather large and extensive type of surgery. Now, the recovery was really painful. The recovery was long. However, the result of this surgery means that that particular precancerous type of problem would not soon cause a much more serious problem than what this person had to undergo now. So it took physical pain in order to provide physical health. Know of a lady that's now, many actually, but one comes to mind, going through a painful series of chemotherapies. What's that for? The whole purpose is to try to kill out the cancer in order to give this person more life. It's painful. It's dreadfully painful to this person, but she's willing to undergo it because there is the potential for physical health to extend her life. I recently knew of a fellow that had to undergo neck surgery because of compression of a disc on a nerve that was now beginning to limit the motion of his upper body. Painful, difficult surgery, but the consequence is now there's full range of motion in all the upper party part, other upper body parts that were affected by the nerve, and now this painful surgery and difficult recovery has actually resulted in an improvement of physical health. I know of a fellow that's fixing to undergo leg surgery to have circulation increased in the legs. And you say, well, why would somebody go through that? Because without that circulation down there, there's going to be the possibility of infection and limited mobility. The person's willing to undergo that trouble in order to be able to increase mobility and in order to increase the possibility of blood flow, keeping infections from gathering in the lower legs. Know of a fellow that recently had stent surgery for his heart, made a tremendous amount of difference in his life. And, you know, I'm telling you these things because they're bringing up memories in your own life. What I'm telling you is this simply, people are willing to undergo physical pain associated with surgery and therapy and other kinds of things in order to improve their physical health. A friend of mine had a tumor removed. The effect of the surgery and the anesthesia caused his kidneys to shut down. He went through at least 6 weeks of dialysis, but now everything is perfectly normal again. Why would somebody go through all of that? Because he's still young. He's only in his mid-50s, has a lot of opportunity for serving the Lord, and today his physical health is as if he had not ever had the tumor or the dialysis or any related problems at all. So that's a good thing, see? The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So with that type of illustration, then we need to understand something. The healing of the surgery took away the trouble that each of these folks was having so that they can now function more normally and they are not facing immediate danger. So those painful experiences were good for them. Likewise, in order for you and I to have spiritual health, to cleanse away evil in our spiritual lives, we need to sometimes undergo chastisement, sorrow, agony, tears, grief, pain, whatever, that will beat down the flesh and cause the spirit to grow into spiritual health. And listen, if there were some other way to accomplish it, don't you know that God would do it? But there doesn't seem to be any other way. Listen, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Okay, so look in Hebrews chapter 5 and notice that God is not expecting you and God is not expecting me to go through anything peculiar that he has not already borne himself. Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verse 8. Speaking of Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So God caused Jesus Christ to undergo suffering that he himself might learn obedience. Well, if God's going to put that on Jesus Christ, his son, don't you know who, and he was a perfect man, don't you know that he's going to certainly have to put that on us in order to cleanse away evil from our lives? I mean, look in Hebrews chapter 4 at verse 15. It's right there on the same page, perhaps, or on the prior page. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ underwent the infirmities of temptations so that when we go through those, he can appreciate the problems that we're going through and help us in time of need. So he's been touched with the feeling of our infirmity. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. Now listen, if Jesus Christ had to go through those things and he was a sinless man, don't you know that somebody like Paul, who also was a very good Christian, would certainly have to go through that much and more? If stripes cleanse away evil from the inward parts of the belly, and Paul was a murderer of Christians and a persecutor of Christians, then certainly he would have to go through these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us that exact testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. Now, we'll just read a little bit of scripture, but get this. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. All right, and Paul indeed could have been, because it would be something any of us would be proud to have been able to do, and that is to get the revelations of New Testament theology and doctrine directly from Jesus Christ, which is what Paul did. And he said, so that I'm not exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that would be disappointing news to most of us, that God was not going to heal us or take away the thorn in the flesh, but that simply now we have to learn to rely more on his grace, and that we are going to have to learn to be strong in the midst of weakness. Well, Paul did that. I don't think I'd be a very good candidate for that, but Paul was. And Paul said in the middle of verse 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Boy, I'll tell you what, that is such a strange but true doctrine. Paul said, look, I'm not going to complain when the trouble comes. When the trouble comes, I am going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to be glad, therefore. Why? Because the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's strange, but it's true. He goes on to say in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, there you go. Paul said, if I've got to have stripes in order to get rid of the infirmities in my flesh, in order to get rid of the evil in me, to cleanse that away, then I'll take the infirmities and the grace of God that goes with the infirmities, and I will glory in those things and take pleasure in those things. Now that's spiritual high ground. It really is. It's true high ground. It's the right place to be. But Paul says, I'm going to endure this because this is the way God is going to build spirituality and spiritual health into me. If a doctor's got to cut me in order to improve my physical health, then why should I bellyache when God has to cut me in order to improve my spiritual health? That's what he's saying. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Galatians 6:17. Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Galatians. He says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And when you read his testimony, you can certainly see where Paul had to endure stripes and the beating of the rod and imprisonments and hunger and thirst and shipwreck and perils in order to be able to accomplish the ministry that he did. And God allowed those things to happen because they were for the benefit of Paul's spiritual health. I know people that have gone through multiple surgeries. A young girl comes to mind now. I think she's had 27 surgeries, and she's not even a teenager yet. You say, how in the world could anybody go through that? She does, because those things have always been attempts to give her more life. And in fact, she has lived as long as she has because of all the surgeries that she's endured. And she wouldn't trade it. She's glad for the life that she has. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Now, this is what Paul learned after a period of time. He said, look, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. When I would do good, evil is present with me. So he knew. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He knew his own wickedness. And he knew the only way in the world that he was going to be a suitable servant for Jesus Christ is to have that wickedness and that evil that was in him put down. And the only way that it was going to be put down is if he suffered. So he said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Wow. Now, honestly, to preach this message, I mean, it's necessary because we preach all the counsel of God, but it's scary for me personally to preach this kind of a message, because while I realize that these things that I'm telling you are true, I don't want them. Paul said he took pleasure in them. He gloried in them. I don't want them, because I want the spiritual health, you see, but I don't want the pain. I'm kind of like a kid in school who wants to be the best athlete on the football team, the best actor in the play, the best singer in the choir, the best student in the school, but I don't want to have to study, and I don't want to have to spend, you know, mornings and evenings on the football field and all my spare time in voice lessons and acting lessons, you see? I mean, there's always the desire to want to be the best, but there's not always the desire to want to work to be the best, because there's pain and there's work and toil associated with all of those things. And likewise, we all want to be the very best spiritual Christians that we can, but truthfully, we don't want to have to endure what it's going to take for us to become the best, because it hurts. But you know, frankly, there's no other way to accomplish it. So I don't personally look forward to those things, frankly, but I say to you that what we're seeing from the Scripture is true. And you know, it ought to be a comfort to you, because you may be going through a great trial of affliction right now. And the comfort in this message is that the effect of that trial of affliction is not going to be wasted on you, because unless there's some sort of an infection that sets in spiritually, you are going to be a more spiritual Christian with more spiritual health after this thing is done and through this experience than you would be if you'd never gone through it. And I pray to God while I'm telling you that will be a comfort to you, because it's hard. I mean, I don't want to switch places with you, okay? But I don't want you to be without comfort, knowing that God is using this experience in your life to accomplish spiritual health. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, we have this. And you're probably familiar with the passage, but it fits this so well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you will be without chastening, or if you be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Well, I really don't want to be one of those. If I got to have the chastisement in order to be a son, all right, I'll be the partaker. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, that is our earthly fathers, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. That is true. That's true. It never seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So when our verse here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 says that so do stripes the inward parts of the belly, that is, that they cleanse away evil from the inward parts of the belly, then if God has got to put some chastisement on us to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness when we're exercised thereby, even though it's grievous, it's worth it. It's worth it. Otherwise, if we don't ever get the chastisement, then we're bastards and not sons. And frankly, I don't like that name. I'd rather, I received Jesus Christ so I could become a son of God. That's why I don't want to ever be anything but a son of God, and I always want to know it. So, okay, so we got to endure a little pain here. We've got to go through some sorrow, some agony, some tears, some grief, some pain, some chastisement in order that this flesh stays down and the spirit grows, in order for God to cleanse away the evil. Now notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Listen, there's a lot of scripture on this particular topic because it's true and God wants it to be well established in your heart and in your mind that there is no other way to grow spiritually apart from some painful experiences. There's no other way to be healed physically. When you get something like an infection, like an appendicitis or an intestinal polyp or cancer or compressed discs on a nerve or these things that I told you, there's no other way, but you got to go under the knife. And, nobody looks forward to that, but you look forward to the results. Nobody looks forward to the physical pain that we endure and the spiritual things that we have to go through in order to be stronger, but we always like the result. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 talks just about that matter. And if children, then heirs. That's you and me. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says, listen, let's take the sufferings of this present time and put them on one side of the scale. And then let's put the glory which shall be revealed in us on the other side of the scale and try to balance the scale. You can't. Because the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory which shall be revealed in us will always outweigh the sufferings of this present time. In other words, the consequences of the agony and the tears and the sorrow and the grief and the pain will always be better and worth more than the sorrow and the agony, the tears and the grief and the pain that you had to go through to get there. Well, thank God for that. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 goes on to add one other aspect to this, and that is you are not alone. It is your calling, my calling, that we're going to have to suffer some things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." All right, in the verse before that, then basically it says, you're going to suffer when you're doing well, and you've got to take it patiently, and this is acceptable with God. And when you do, you are following the example that Jesus Christ left for us when he suffered. We're following in his steps. And it's your calling. It's your calling. It goes with the territory. People say, Christianity, that's a crutch. Excuse me, anybody that believes that Christianity is a crutch has absolutely no earthly idea at all about the biblical brand of Christianity. The biblical brand of Christianity says, you're going to heaven when you die, but you're going to suffer on the way. And God's going to allow that suffering to happen when you would rather have anything else but the suffering, just so that you can be more spiritual and more spiritually healthy while you're getting there. That's a crutch? No, people don't want that. They want prosperity. They want money. They want ease. They want, you know, glory now. That's what the flesh wants. And it isn't going to happen. If Jesus Christ had to suffer before he got the crown of glory, you and I are going to have to suffer before we get the crowns of glory. But God's using that to bring spiritual health into our lives. So all of this is designed to make us spiritually healthy in Christ. Let me just reiterate here at the end of the broadcast. If you're going through something right now, and you know the hand of God is in it, and it hurts, and there's agony and grief and tears in it, while you are experiencing those things, do not despair, because God is using this in your life to actually bring about more spiritual health in your life and to cleanse out some of the evil that's in you, that's in all of us, in order that you will be more like him. You know, that reminds me. It reminds me of what Paul said to the Philippians. And he is what he wanted. And honestly, God allowed him to write this down here so that this would be the same thing you and I'd want. Paul said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, the power of his resurrection is the most powerful force you have ever seen in the entire universe. In order to have that kind of power, you'll have to have the fellowship of his sufferings, and you'll have to be made conformable unto his death. So, as the blueness of a wound cleanseth away the evil thereof, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. They go hand in hand. I pray that this has been a blessing to you and an encouragement to you and something that will edify you and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd be glad to see you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.